ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 10, which describes the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. This is according to Sukadeva Goswami. The sages of that time were familiar with Ramayana, which happened to be written in Treta Yuga by Valmiki Muni. This compilation came right after departure of Lord Krishna in Dwapar Yuga. How come this is still known to the people after how many thousands of years? Treta Yuga lasts for how many thousand? Yeah. It is three times than this Kali Yuga. Our Kali Yuga just began only 5,000 years back. Right? And yet, Sukadeva Goswami is reciting Ramayana. As I explained last time, that Lord Ramchandra's pastimes are occurring in every Treta Yuga. It is very rare to know Lord Krishna's pastimes because it happens after 1,000 cycles of four yugas. Only once. to understand Lord Krishna's pastimes are not easy because they are not repeated that many times. In one day of Brahma once. But in one day of Brahma, all the incarnations, you know, come 1,000 times repeatedly. So that is the calculation of kalpa. A kalpa consists of four yugas multiplied by 1,000 times, and that is only 12 hours of daytime. Similar is the night, and that constitutes one 24-hour day period. You multiply by 30. That is 1 month. Multiplied by 12 is Brahma's 1 year. Again, multiplied 100 years of Brahma. So it comes to how many trillions of years Brahma's lifespan is there. He's the first living entity. Very powerful. Even if we can desire to become Brahma, that is possible. But we cannot desire to become the Supreme Personality of God. You know, even Brahma is insignificant part and parcel of the Supreme. He's not a big jiva in size. Size is the same. But he acquired the body which is very powerful because it constitutes of more goodness. All the devatas are in mode of goodness, predominant mode. They have passion and ignorance also, but they are in lesser quantity. We are born in Kali Yuga especially. Shudra means in mode of ignorance. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I am born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Veda means knowledge. Vedas are compilations of knowledge in different categories. So, it applies to everyone of every mentality which is conducted by the three modes of material nature. They are called kalpatarus. Kalpataru means like wish fulfilling desire trees. You wish, you get it. You have this desire, the Veda will say, yes, how to obtain that desire, how to cultivate this, how to fulfill that desire. It will give the guidelines. So, Vedas are also compared to the operating manual of a creation. When I River was born, there was a big book of manual with it. Without manual, I'm still struggling how to operate. Is it working all right? I have to see many times. You know, because without properly understanding manual, this little creation is difficult to understand. So how is it possible? The whole material cosmic manifestation is the creation of the Lord. It is going to work only some time. Then it will also be dissolved. So creation, sustenance and dissolution. These are the three ever-going principles of this material creation. And we should not be in illusion that we will live forever in this so-called body. Now, so anyway, the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam is called Paravidya, transcendental knowledge. Means, the soul is in transcendental position. It can be covered by illusion because it's very tiny. When the illusion is removed, he regains his original swarupa. So, Krishna comes in many forms in order to reclaim the devotees who are trying to purify themselves and getting free from the temporary hallucinatory world of creation. You know, anybody who had committed some crime is put into correction unit. This material world is called correction unit. The whole material world. Because the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme, must have done some mistake. And this mistake is spelled out in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. Icha dvesha samuthena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. Sarga means creation. Parantapa is Arjuna's name. Parantapa means subduer of the enemy. So he says icha dvesha, because tiny living entity is an eternal entity, part and parcel of the Supreme, qualitative one, but quantitative difference is there. He cannot fulfill his desire on his own. And above and over, that he creates a different kind of desire without Krishna's involvement. Means there must be an element of hate, a separating element. This is called hate. And to lord it over. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And his part and parcel has that inclination to enjoy. But his enjoyment is dependent upon Lord's enjoyment. And only by service to him he can enjoy. Just like a servant working for his master gets the same facility. He stays with him, you know, and if he is very obedient, master reveals himself, you know, that attitude of servitorship will not come in building up a relationship, rather it will foster the relationship. If one thinks he is his master, you know, then you will see he will end up serving something and he will unable to claim that he is master. If one is not a master, then he is a das. One has to master his senses also. Otherwise, you know, he is a godas, not Goswami. So in this way, the reason of our entanglement in the material world is spelled out. Ichha dvesh. Ichha means a separate desire to lord it over, which has been born simultaneously out of hate element by the living entity who does not want Krishna to get involved in his enjoyment. That is the root cause of this material creation. Samutthena means both desire to lord it over and the hate element simultaneously appear. So these are two factors. These two factors are coming as a reflection in when the material world is concerned. So this material world is called the world of opposite duality. So dvand is called duality. Dvand mohena bharata. This dvand means the duality, which is very bewildering. Very bewildering. You know, like heat and cold, these are opposites. You know, we try to escape to Fiji because we think heat and cold are same there. Here it is a little bit different, but when you go to Brisbane and further down, you know, there is a lot of distinction. Heat and cold, duality exposes so, you know, brightly there. Then one want to mechanically, you know, try to compensate. The whole life is passed in that kind of, you know, adjustment from heat and cold, rather than tolerate the inconveniences. People don't say, okay, if you have come to such nether worlds where heat and cold is so predominant, should not have left India even. Right? But now, in pursuit of happiness, in pursuit of fulfilling that desire which has been inherent in the living entity, he is succumbed life after life to fulfill that desire. Only in human form of life that we will be able to understand that, well, here we can rectify ourselves. We made a mistake in all these lifetimes that we try to fulfill our desires. If we try to fulfill Krishna's desire in this lifetime, then naturally we can go back home, back to God, where we came from. The soul is not a product of this material world. And however scientists may try to, bluff and dissuade the people in general, don't accept any damn thing from them. They have been proven wrong over and over again. But yet, they want to control so-called economy, even though they are failing. This is demoniac nature. Krishna is exposing that. So we have to understand then, to counteract the demoniac nature, Krishna comes to those who are faithful to him and resurrect them. Paritranaya sadhanam vinachaya cha dushkatam dharma samsthapana arthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I come in every millennium, in every yuga. So we are studying Lord Ramchandra's appearance and significance of him, that he played wonderful pastimes and how we are supposed to understand them. So we are entering into Yuddha Kand, the real fighting between the righteous and demoniac. So we'll see. It's a beautiful narration. Lord Ramchandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, has assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabandha, and after making friends with monkey chiefs, killing Vali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified Varuna Devata. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastime of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all the paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows: "O all pervading supreme person, we are dull minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the supreme person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with modes of goodness, and the prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the lord of ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities." So Prabhupada says, the word jadabhiya means dull-minded, refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. A Hindi poet said, "Dukh se sab hari bhaje, sukh se bhaje koi. Sukh se agar hari bhaje, dukh kaha se hoy?" Means, when one is distressed, he go to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society. For without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. So, the ocean is telling, "My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go and kill him and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O hero, although my waters present no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it and to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderful uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings of the future will glorify you." Now government of India is trying to break that bridge. You know, they attempted 3 times before, since 1956. You know, after the Constitution of India, a republic was announced in 1950s. The very first thing that they wanted to open the channel. The channel is of shoals, and these shoals are man-made. Have you seen the photographs? Where inside satellite, you know, and NASA took the set. There are 11 pictures showing that it is submerged only, but even tsunami did not break it. It is still intact, and they want to break it. There are people last, I think October on. I was in Ujjain and one person came. He wants to do some political propaganda to save the bridge. So he made a video. I have the video, but a speculative aspect. But he shows some geographical and Plato aspect, that where the channels were supposed to be made and the bridge would be intact to save the fauna. The the animal life itself. Here we see Lord Ramchandra in his anger disturbs the life because the ocean is not obedient. You know, but out of that fear he came immediately because he is supposed to protect all the animals in the water. So he realized that this personality is not ordinary, you know. So Varuna Devata is the personification of the controller, demigod of waters. So we want to see how Lord Ramchandra's glorious act is to be understood. It is said, Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is said that a sun and urine emanates from the same source, the genitals. When the sun is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. And if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here Ravan is compared to urine because he was the cause of disturbance to the three worlds. Thus the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramchandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to the material impediments and inconveniences, but to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramchandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is the proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should some be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramchandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for the God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 9th verse, Janma karma cha me divyam evam vyakti yo tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti swarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna, the activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not to be performed by any other living being. The symptom of Lord's activities are also mentioned in the Shastras. And after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as He is. The uncommon activity of the Lord can be only understood by pure devotional service through chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we chant, our cleansing of all the material modes, tamogun, rajogun, and sattvagun will be established, but then we'll be able to contemplate on the transcendental nature, the modes of transcendence that are superior than these material modes. And gradually, we'll be able to realize the omnipotence of the Lord, that He is pervaded as Paramatma in each and every atom, and in the heart also of the living beings, because he is the guide and director of fulfilling his desires. If one neglects to realize Paramatma in one's heart, then his life is spoiled and he will be subjected to repeated birth. And who knows what kind of birth will be, either lower or higher according to one's bondage in karmic activity. That will determine. So, tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti. By giving up this miserable material world, he will never want to come again. Rather, he will be situated with me in my transcendental nature, which is full of knowledge and bliss. That is the realm of Vaikuntha. This is no Vaikuntha. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be accepted with proper understanding. So when we chant, the proper understanding comes and we are revealed the form of the Lord first. The form of the Lord is not a fanciful creation of an artist. Rather, worshipping the holy name and serving the form of the Lord means these are the authorized shastric forms of the Lord. The Lord can be worshipped in photograph also, in metal, in wood, in earth, like sand. So these are some material elements. In each and every atom of the material element, Paramatma is also residing. So, Paramatma does not have material constitution. So, if one worships the Lord in the temple, within his home, or in the temple of the society, yet he is everywhere. So impersonalists say, oh, you don't need to go to the temple for worship the Lord. Why? Because he is all-pervading. But in all-pervasiveness, are you able to realize what are his important features of all-pervasiveness? How is he controlling? How is he sustaining the material world? How is he fulfilling your desires by sitting in the heart as Paramatma? No. So knowledge is not enough. But you come to understand by serving the form of the Lord and cultivation the transcendental sound vibration and apply in your worship. So worship is accompanied by mantras. It's not by mind that you worship, or whatever you think, I will put dress like this, this. No, no, no. There are mantras. So when one worships the holy name, the form is revealed. So when one worships the holy name and the form, the transcendental qualities are revealed. This is the third step. The divine qualities are revealed. Divine qualities are putting us on the threshold of communication with the Lord. Unless and until one has been acting divinely, means samat sarveshu bhuteshu, he develops equivision. Equivision means he sees only the Paramatma feature of his omnipresence and omnipotency. That he is the one who sustains this material world. So while we are existing in the sustenance period, let's try to understand him and his transcendental nature. So we will be able to get the divine qualities. The third step is very important. So those who are worshipping the deity, they will help to cultivate the divine nature. There are two lakshanas or the characters of the divine qualities. One is Swarupa lakshana. Swarupa means the soul's original form is called Swarup. This body is not the Swarup, because it's temporary. We are trying to find out the original Rupa, original of the soul, because he is part and parcel of Krishna. So therefore it must be beautiful. The soul is beautiful, the body is stinking, liquid beauty. Right? So always make a distinction like this. So the soul is very beautiful, that's why we tend to love somebody. But if you do not love the soul, if you love the body, you are under wrong conception. Body is only an instrument to develop the knowledge of the reality, not this temporality. So, when one worships the transcendental sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, he is admitted to a higher level of worshipping the form of the Lord with continuation of the holy mantras, and then the divine qualities are formed. But that is Swarupa has to be distinguished very well. What is the Swarupa Lakshan of the soul? One who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is called his Swarup Lakshan. But we have the body. We don't neglect. But we behave in such a way, by developing 26 qualities of a devotee. A devotee gradually he becomes sober to the problems of the life and takes a very steady, clear idea shown by Bhagavad Gita. Very sober, very tolerant, very magnanimous. There are 26 qualities. They are called Tatastha Lakshans. Swarupa Lakshan is surrender, and Tatastha Lakshan is Vaishnava character, Vaishnava etiquette, you know. So, in this way, when the qualities are revealed, then the next, the pastimes will be revealed. We are able to enter into intricacies of the pastimes when we are surrendered and develop that quality. So that person can become representative of Lord Shri Krishna, that is the Guru. The transcendental qualities must be there, and one must aspire, or one must get inspiration from such a person who has developed not a personality cult that one should look for a charismatic guru. Charisma is not transcendental quality. He is very sober, serious to the path that he is progressing, and at the same time available to unravel the reveal the intricacies of the transcendental nature that we are cultivating. So we read further. Sukadeva Goswami said, after constructing bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetations had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which has previously been burnt by Hanuman. The great mountain peaks covered with the trees and plants were thrown into the sea by monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in the space like swabs of cotton. If they can swim in the space without sinking or giving up their orbits, these planetary systems are so faithful. Yasya gaya brahmati samvrita kala chakra govindamadi purushottamam yachakshuresa savita sakala grahanam raja samasta murti sashesha teja yasya gaya brahmati samvrita kala chakra govindamadi purushottamam. This is Brahma's vision. He worships Lord Krishna. Where the sun and the moon, they are becoming his eyes. You know, yachakshuresha savita sakala grahana. You know, therefore, every planetary systems suspending and carrying out, you know, the vision of the Lord, the plan of the Lord. You know, and Raja, the king also is supposed to inherit. Therefore, our origination and Ramchandra was born in the Sun dynasty. Krishna came in the Moon dynasty. You know, the dynasties are coming down in order to carry that order. Yasya gaya brahmati, under whose direction all the planetary systems revolve in their orbit very faithfully. So, when they are floating in their air, and we can see what is impossible for the great mountain peaks with the trees and others can float in the water. Should we doubt? Man with poor knowledge, he may think of gravity and this and that, but it is poor fund of knowledge. It does not know the ABC of the science yet, which is so subtle. That is correct. The consciousness is behind him. The Supreme's consciousness is there, and he wants them to float. Otherwise, they will start striking with each other. Wait till Lord Shiva dances and you will see. I mean, don't be here around by that time. Get out. We have to get out from this material world. So, this is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes, because he is not under the control of material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Only under his direction does the prakriti or material nature work. Similar information is given in Brahma Sanhita. Yasya gyana pramati sambhrita kala chakra govindamadi purushottamam. Describing how material nature works, the Brahma Sanhita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ramchandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of the Lord Ramchandra eternally celebrated. This is the wonderful thing. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs like Sugriva, Neela and Hanuman occupied the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontage, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroad platforms, flags and golden pots on its dome were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by the herds of elephants. The Supreme Personality of Godhead's glories are sung by choicest poetry. It's so poetic that it gives all kinds of mellows reading. Just like interacting with the Supreme Lord, our mind will start interacting with the description, which is none different than the Lord's. That's why the soul rejoices. And those who are purified soul, they rejoice this transcendental nature very much. You don't get this kind of thing in the novel. You know, it's a useless piece of garbage. This material world, any literature, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, any literature that does not describe the transcendental glories of the Lord is the pilgrimage for the crows. For the crows-like mentality. On the other behalf, the literature that is filled with the transcendental glories of the Lord, however it may be compiled, with even a lot of grammatical faults or even in construction of the sentence, yet it will be relished by the sadhus, those who are purified. Tadvag visargo janata viplavo yasmin pratislokam abaddhavatapi namani anantasya shonkitan yat shunvanti gayanti smaranti sadhava. This is told in the first canto itself. Yeah. So, that literature which is filled with the transcendental glories, can you catch up the transcendence where it is differentiating from the material effect? The divine nature, and it is explained by reasoning. You argue, oh, how is it possible to make a bridge? The bridge is only 30 kilometers. Because if you see the satellite photograph, the shoal, natural shoal, that is there, that is also underwater right now, you know. But the connecting bridge, you know, is by floating the mountain peaks and big boulders. And that can be seen through the photograph. That gentleman who showed, and I think I have a slide presentation on that. Not slide, but I think a video he did it. It shows that it has about 6 or 7 bridge-type gaps to leave the flow continuous. It's not like a dam. So the water flow continues through the gaps, and over it, there is a bridge. There are 7 portions. So, maybe, you know, conceiving through his fertile brain. But he's trying to prove that it is man-made. It is man-made. It's not only man-made. We see the transcendental potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do, you know. But material scientist has a proposition that there is no God. And they start working from there. And whatever they say, we have to accept, even though it has no iota of any truth in it. So that is the position. So, a logical argument is required that we are advocates of Lord Krishna. Like a lawyer who fights, a preacher has to fight and with logic and all the witful sense. We can use humor even. So, if one can float the whole planetary system, you know, in the sky, for him to build a little bridge on a little planet called Earth, in this, what is the difficulty? But because materially obsessed, unpurified, you know, a state of mind has difficulty to understand. One cannot understand through the mode of ignorance. He has to rise above. If somebody is passionate and will try to do the research and use all his so-called material knowledge and try to do, he cannot understand that too. More of goodness will create a faith that it is possible, but he will not be able to explain. But when one practices the transcendence through chanting of the holy name, he will be able to get the insight that how it is possible. That is why it is not possible. The very first counter argue question will be bombarded. What's a big deal? He becomes confident in answering. You know, so-called worldly contradicting things. The worldly-minded people, they, however religious may be, but they get hung up on contradiction. Oh, what's a big deal when this dhobi, we are coming to that point, you know. How is it to be understood when Ramchandra banished Sita after all this ordeal? He was heartless. Look at Sita is telling the same thing. So we will understand how it is to be properly understandable, and it can mitigate our doubts. So that's why we have to hear Ramcharitra in a proper set mind framework, you know. When Ravan, the master of Rakshas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbh Kumbh, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka and other Rakshas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter he called the Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana and finally Kumbhakarna. When he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies, Lord Ramchandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandhamada, Neela, Angad, Jambavan, Panasha, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshas who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prastas, ristis, shaktis, arrows, khadagas and tomaras. Now see, on the part of the monkeys, what did they have? Another controversy. Angad and other commanders of the soldiers of Ramchandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, chariots and enemies that had herded against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramchandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because of Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Condemnation means not recognizing any relation with the Supreme. This is conducted through the Ladini potency of the Lord. When any act that does not please the Lord, Ladini potency condemns us to remain into the darkest of ignorance. The consciousness is divine by nature, and we are using for sense gratification. We become so miser that we do not know what to utilize it for, why it has been given in the first place. They are called knowledge acquiring senses, and we end up in sense gratification instead. So, condemnation means not recognition. No recognition at all to the Supreme will be ever forwarded by the Ladini potency that is there. Chit potency is knowledge acquiring potency. And this is all divine. So Ladini orders chit potency, then let them sink into the material world. Awareness or consciousness in its natural occupation will never arise. Those who are engrossed in sense gratification activities. Bhogeshwarya prasaktanam taya apratachetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhau na vidiyate. Those who are engaged in sense gratification activities, to them, the eternal occupation of the soul and intelligence pertaining to that will never arise. This is called condemnation. So when Mother Sita, she became angry because Ravan is trying to abuse her. This energy, the Shakti, even in the material form of Durga, she can enrage. She is always ready to punish the wayward with Trishul. Trishul is Tapatraya. Tapatraya means threefold miseries: Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik, and Adhidaivik. One that is induced by the self ignorance. The second type is induced by other party, other living entities. And the third is natural calamities. These three are in the jurisdiction of Durga Devi, the Maya. The whole Shiva Parivar, the family of Lord Shiva, you know, carries the trident. They carry the trident. We may go and pray Lord Ganesh to clear our way and do some puja or this. But if it is an act of mode of ignorance or passion, it will generate into, you know, dissatisfaction, anger, wrath, and stoop down again into the mode of ignorance. So, the human consciousness is supposed to be concentrated upon self-realization. Then it is worth living. One who dies without realizing one's own self, the whole life is wasted. The whole life is wasted. What did we gain? What kind of duty we have performed that we could not impart to our next generation? Do you think human life is irresponsible independence that we can live? So we have to become serious. Maya kicks us every now and then, and yet we are not waking up. Maya kicks. Everybody gets kicked. Who is satisfied with this life anyway? Nobody. So, condemnation is through the potency that is flowing in us because we are part and parcel. We are also Satchit Anand. Satchit potency and Ladini potency, Anand potency. Because their function is not fulfilled, naturally, they say, leave me alone. Rascal. So when Sita, the personified Ladini potency of Lord Ramchandra, she is acting here in Swakiya Ras. Swakiya Ras means legally wedded wife.
So the secret is not exposed. It is private between husband and wife. Third party should not know their love affair. It is so much faithful and other things. Ideal, it should not be shared even. That's called legal. Parakiyaras, it can happen only in Krishna Leela. And that is unimitable. You cannot imitate. However we try. You know. Lord Ramchandra's character is ideal to be followed by human being. That's why he showed by his presence simultaneously different teachings which are applicable in the human society. While Krishna came and exhibited his supremacy over all and did not leave any exception, Ramchandra showed us maryada. Maryada means limitation. What is in a jiva's limitation should be executed rather than blindly imitate God and become God's competitor. Many so-called sadhus who became either taken the position of Bhagawan, we just read, you know, they are fictitious character, bluffers. They can't lift even a stone on their pinky, what to speak of lifting Govardhan Hill. Just take out some little ashes. Anybody can take out the ashes. There are so many videos counteracting the so-called claims of one to be a Bhagawan. You can see how cheating he is doing in a slow motion camera. You better believe. Yeah, I have video. But the thing is that people who are obsessed with the three modes of material nature, they are not advancing. They are simply unintelligent people. Can be dragged so easily. They have no iota of self-realization. That is the necessity. And one must, you know, put up every effort in their life, you know, to make an attempt is a great fortune. But one who is steadily trying to progress in that is a serious bhakta. So in this way we can see Ravana was condemned. So it was only Ramchandra and Lakshmana who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. Can you understand the transcendental aspect there? That it was possible to kill such people who are virtually in the mode of ignorance. And so generally the rakshas, however strong they may be, you know, but their head is not straight. They are not functioning well. There is no coordination in them. They can be killed easily by throwing a stone. You know. But the monkeys, they were able to throw big, big boulders because of Lord Ramchandra's potency. So, there are two kinds of strength. Daiva and Purushakar. Devi Shakti
and Purusha Shakti. Purusha means the so-called enjoyers. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakar refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Lord, one must fight one's enemy even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructs Arjuna, Mamanusmara Yudhyacha, just think of me and fight. See the transcendence aspect. When September 11 happened, it was happened with little knife. This guy, you know, hijacked the plane. Little knife. He didn't have weapons. If that is possible and create a disaster to kill over 3,000 people and destroy millions of dollars of properties, you know, and put America into perpetual war with vengeance, if only a little edge of knife, and that was not even big knife, it's what a household pen knife, what they call it. Even with so many intelligence report that FBI, CIA and all other agencies got, and government knew. Even CNN camera knew exactly where they're going to hit, and they were able to capture, you know, the photographs. It was a pre-planned thing, even with the knowledge of government. So, if such disaster can happen with this pen knife, what is not possible to kill these soldiers, rakshasas, simply with simple instruments? It is possible. Even though government has so much material intelligence, it could have prevented, but no, it could not prevent. Even they knew it. Everything is pre-planned. They knew it. Because there are vested interests of conflicting ideas and conspiracies. Why President Kennedy's assassination files are never opened up? They were supposed to open. Conspiracy. Why they could not go on the moon, yet they claim they went on the moon? It's conspiracy. These demons, they don't have their head straight. You know, they are working very incoordinately, and they are conflicting with each other. So, do not rely upon the worldly things which is happening around you. Rather, because we are living, just remain little indifferent as long as your work is done through keep the soul and body together. But dovetail all your energy in self-realization. You have plenty of time. Don't tell, I don't have time, I'm working 8 hours, very hard work, I cannot chant few rounds. Now, chant. If you want to save yourself, this instruction will save you. Never become careless for your own selfishness. This is the real selfishness. This is the purpose of religion, to connect with Krishna. Religos means to yoke with, to connect with. So, it's beautifully explained, and it will
open our eyes than simply reading story without proper understanding. So, depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies even though they may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability. But for victory, we must depend on the mercy of Supreme Personality of God. If we want to remain intelligent, then we must take Lord Krishna's advice. We must think of him and fight ignorance. And you will see surprising results. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of Rakshas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry, and thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with the flowers, and proceeded towards Lord Ramchandra, who sat on an effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramchandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramchandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are the most abominable, sinful and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempts never fail, shall punish you. Nachadeivat param balam. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence." Ravana was so sinful and shameless that he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Lord Ramchandra. This is the disqualification of Rakshasas. Asatyam apratisthitam te jagat ahur anishwaram. The Rakshas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come out by chance or accident, and there is no ruler or king or controller. Therefore, the Rakshas act independently as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. The policy of Ravana is extremely dangerous for the materialist. Indeed, it brings ruin to the material civilization. Nonetheless, because the atheists are Rakshas, they dare to do things that are most abominable, and thus they are punished without fail. Religion consists of the orders of the Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders are religious. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders are irreligious and is to be punished. So, the modern materialist are so selfish for little or no value. In 1992, when the first war broke out between America and Iran, it was due to the proclamation by George Bush, the senior, then president. He said, "Oh, Iraq is trying to raise the price by $2.5. It is going to disturb our standard of living. We can't allow them. So we will go and subdue." That is the reason the war started. But America went into such a treacherous reactions that it involved more deep down into the war. It came to Saddam Hussein, but to control the Taliban's and jihadis and Osama bin Laden, and they are still unconquerable, led into such chain reactions, so heavy, that the George Bush the second, the junior, he made a fool out of himself, ruined the economy of
the whole world. And during his reign, the petrol prices went up to $3 or $4 in California. So who is at lost? The demons do not know their real welfare. Demoniac nature works like this even in so-called cultured society. We think of the great nations. But under the great nations, there is a lot of polampole, what we call khokhlapan, or emptiness. They are not thinking on a reality basis. The new president said he will want to make friendship with Osama bin Laden. But as soon as he came to the power, he sent 20,000 troops to Pakistan to fight Taliban's there. And they are killing the civilians. So, you can't trust. One who does not apply his God consciousness in ruling, one is not called Rajarshis. The Rajarshis means the kings like rishis. They act that way. You have so many examples in our Shastra. Janak Maharaj, Yudhishthir, they are all like saintly kings. You can't call any ruler a saintly. The saintly people cannot become the ruler anyway. This is Kali Yuga. Thus, after rebuking Ravan, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravan and released the arrow which pierced Ravan's heart like thunderbolt. Upon seeing the Ravana's followers raised tumultuous sound crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravan, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to the earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. What a comparison. A pious man also falls, going from the heaven, like that. Kshine punya martya loke vishanti. To remain religious doesn't mean to depend upon the belief systems that we are indoctrinated through tradition or through family inheritance. No. It is more than that. We have to learn the distinction between punya and pavitrata. Means punya means piety, and pavitra means purity. Punya can take us to the highest material platform, that is called going to the demigods, devata, devaloka. Yanti devata devan. Those who are worshippers of the demigods, they go to the demigods planet, not Krishna loka. So the pious credit, the bank balance of the piety will take us to the Swargaloka, where the demigods reside. But as soon as our piety is finished there, it's not eternal, because we want to enjoy. That's why we were gentlemanly behaving in the earth. You know, I don't want to harm anybody. I won't lie. I will be an honest person, and I will try to do little charity here and there, and that's about it. I'm a happy man. This is not enough. It will take you to Sargaloka, and as much credit we have accumulated, but the profit is there, more sense enjoyment. As soon as these credits are finished, you have to fall down again back into square one. Come to this material world of Mrityuloka. Very quick, you know, death will be here. You know, in Swargaloka, longevity is there. But anyway, so Ravan fell. Ravan was a Brahmana's son. He must have so much power obtained through his austerities, which was punya. Otherwise, how was it possible for him to rule such a nation made up of gold? Lanka was made up of gold. Whole history will be coming in Ramayana in Uttarakhand. But what was he, even though remaining a son of a Brahman, he was envious of Krishna. He was godless, atheist. He think himself to be the supreme. And he was subduing the devatas, the devotees who are firmly fixed in service of the Lord. So, however a pious person he may be, in South India, some section of the society, they worship Ravan. They worship him in South India. They have made the serial after Raman on Ravan also. Because it's filled with action, thriller, you know. So much nobility and others. But they are proud, puffed up, you know, which are not devotional quality. However, a devotee is completely different from pious man. A devotee is totally dedicated to Lord Krishna, who is the transcendental reality. Well, Ravan was not transcendental. Even though they know up to the knowledge, the animosity with the Lord may continue up to the Brahma Jyoti, Jnana level. But he will fail to see the presence of Paramatma. What to speak of having a relationship with the Supreme Lord? So how the intricacies of Ravan he faced as curse was given. Yesterday we read about he molested Rambha. She was married, and Ravan argued that the celestial girls are never married. You know, they act like prostitutes there. So he was very, very bent upon doing something which is not wise for a Brahman. A Brahman is Brahma Janatiti Brahman. So he may know Brahman, but he may not know the Supreme Person, the source of Brahman. Therefore, he is not a devotee. It is said that reject a Brahman. If he is not a devotee, he cannot be a guru. On the other behalf, if a chandal, a dog eater, he is a devotee, you can make him a guru. A Brahman is not all in all. He may be the head of the society, but he has to understand the responsibility, then he must be a devotee. Otherwise, no. There are a lot of problems created by caste system, and during British time they tried to utilize the caste system as a source of divide and rule policy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj had to confront, he was invited by the Brahman Sabha, that they were claiming that they are the superior to any members of the society, and the devotees were humble. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur glorified the Brahmin community so much and took them in confidence, and then slashed them by arguments. Then they all agreed that yes, Brahmins are not the highest. A devotee can become a Brahman without much effort, but a Brahman may not become devotee with lot of effort. So there are intricate things. A Brahman should be a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not simply karmakandi. Generally, they avoid talking on Vishnu and transcendental nature. They think it is their profession to earn money. So they will not guide. The local pandits will come and become guru, but they will not take people home to Godhead. They will never talk of transcendence. Shatkarma nipuno mantra tantra visharada. A Brahman may be expert in shatkarma. There are six karmas: patana patana, jajana jajana, dana pratigraha. That he has to study, and he should study for others. Professional reciters, he will come and do this. Then yajana yajana, he will worship for himself, as well as he will be employed as a worshipper for their deities too. So a Brahman can do that one. Then dana pratigya, he should receive in charity, as well as he should give charity. These are the six functions. So shat karma nipuno means expert. Mantra tantra visharada, he must be expert in reciting mantra and tantra also. But a Vaishnava guru nasya, if he is not Vaishnava, if that Brahman is not Vaishnava, guru nasya, he cannot be a guru. While on the other behalf, Svapachato Guru. Svapachata means the Chandala. If he is conversant with Krishna consciousness, then he should be Guru. So in this way, Ravana has been falling off, and Prabhupada explains this in Bhagavad Gita. It is said that kshine punya matya loke vishanti, when the result of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one gets piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to the different conditions. For neither pious or impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position of the king of the great kingdom with all material opulences, but because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes the most abominable. Bereft of the result of pious activities, one must fall down like ground and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designation. Sarvupadir vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesham sevanam bhakti ruchyate. We have to be free from pious activities and impious activities. It doesn't condemn not doing good. No, we must. But at the result, we should not be depending upon those two. We should offer it to Krishna. Thus we will become free. Whatever we do, if we do on behalf of Krishna, the results are offered to Krishna. You know? Yat karoshi yadasnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasisi kaunte tat kurushum adarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give in homage, whatever you give in charity, whatever you all austerity for, you know, everything should be offered as a service to Lord Shri Krishna. That is becoming free from good and bad. The Lord does not accept anybody's punya or paap. Therefore, He doesn't distinguish between who is a punyashali atma and what is an impious person. He doesn't distinguish. He only distinguishes one thing: bhakti. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. I am equal to everyone. In the eyes of Krishna, everyone is equal. Na dvesti na priyas. There is nobody that Krishna does not prefer, or not that somebody is more preferable. No, they are all equal. Lekin ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya te api chasu tevam. But one who worships me, knowing me fully, that I am the Supreme Personality of God, He is my devotee, I will reciprocate with Him in devotion. Therefore, pious and impious activities, they are going to keep us in the material world. Pious activities are performed for sense of knowledge and happiness. But material, they are not going to relieve us from the bondage of repeated birth and death, samsara. The soul is not product of samsara. Why he should be only tied up in samsara? It is required that even though he is growing from the mud, but he is like a lotus. Because lotus is in that transcendental position, does not allow a drop of water on his leaf. How could we live like that? Because if the soul is given the comparison to the lotus, the Lord is personified in lotus-like beauty. He is always lotus eye, lotus feet, charana kamal, nayana kamal. What is that? Just like lotus is beautiful to be seen, it is all beauty. Krishna means all attractive, all beauty. But other opulences are also attractive, like strength, fame, knowledge, wealth, as well as tyag. Detachment. Detachment is very attractive. If we want to remain attached, then attached to Krishna. Don't become attached to the material world. That attachment is not good for the soul. Soul will be not liberated if we are attached to the material world. But we have to act like lotus. Even though we have been come out from the mud of Maya, we should not allow the water, the source, to be touched by us. That is called the vision of indifference, and we must cultivate it. That is the way of liberation. By engaging in devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord will allow us to perform this practice. So, when one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions. But when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in spiritual position. Sa gunan samatityetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Ravan or those like him may be very powerful and opulent in this material world. But theirs is not a secure position, because after all, they are all bound by the result of their karma. Karmana devinitrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent upon the laws of nature. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature think himself the doer of the activity that are actually carried out by the nature itself. We are not the doer. Our activities are controlled by the modes of material nature. If I have a desire to engage my rajogun, I would like to dance on this rhythm, even the phone rhythm. The point is that we are influenced to act as a compulsory, like a puppet in the hands of material nature. Our body reacts to the material nature, not in opposition. We do not want that now cold is setting, try to keep us warm. There is effect of material nature. But our activity, no, we want to remain steady. But material nature makes us wear warm clothes. It's not that I'm wearing, I'm forced to wear, otherwise I'll get cold. Isn't it? So who is acting? You are put in precarious position. Therefore you have to do. So who is responsible? Material nature is like that. Therefore I have to protect myself. The cause is material nature. And we have to tolerate that inconveniences. You know, the soul is in a wrong place to be forced by the material nature to act like a puppet. But out of false ego, he thinks he is the doer. Oh, I'm in control, Prabhu. I'm all right. I have wear enough jackets. No problem. You tell me, what can I do for you? Then he will start easy. So, in this way, we should understand the importance of devotional service in our life to become transcendental to the three modes of material nature. That our body is composed, our surrounding is composed. But Krishna is helping through his holy name to reveal our reality. That we are not product of here. We are coming from there. and we want to go back in order to, you know, act so freely without jacket. There is no need of such jackets there. You know, no sneezing will come there. Oh, all the problems of birth, death, old age and disease will be finished. So, wow, that's quite long, but understandings are required. So now Ravana is dead, and his wives like Mandodari and others, they are telling the truth, but she is the chaste woman. Funeral ceremony is done. Vibhishan has been crowned as the king, and Ramchandra is returning to Ayodhya. There's a beautiful explanation now coming up. Now, how the citizens, and they were overjoyed, happy, you know, and these descriptions are very nicely given by Sukadeva Goswami. Now we want to come to Ramarajya and then finish. There is one particular thing that I would like to draw attention to, the importance of Lord Ramchandra's absolute authority, and he is trying Sita, his own potency, to explain us the nature. Ramchandra is so ideal that we hanker that our king or government act like, you know, and give us Ramarajya. Everybody wishes, because it's a very celebrated period. But at the same time, towards the end, even though Lord was very careful to establish, because the age was now progressing towards Dwapar Yuga, the principles of religion will not be followed in that intensity. And two legs of the religion will be lost. In Kali Yuga, we are surviving only one leg of religion. There are four legs of religion. Truthfulness means the absolute truth. Austerity, then cleanliness, and mercy. You know, in Kali Yuga, some truth is still existing, but mercy has eloped, cleanliness has eloped, there is no austerity. So, how on one leg the religion is surviving? It's difficult. When Parikshit Maharaj took the reign and he wanted to execute the same way as Lord Ramchandra is executing, he went out to see, and Kali was entering. He saw the Kali personified in the garb of a king, and he was doing the nasty job. The bull, who had lost three legs, he was hurting the fourth leg. And the cow was crying, standing over there. This is the cow slaughter starting. It is the first foremost symptom of Kali. It starts with cow slaughter. So, Parikshit Maharaj is challenging. And Kali understood that since pure devotees are there to rule over the world, it's impossible for him to take the command of the time. So he surrenders in order to get some sanction and shelter. When one surrenders to a saintly person, he has to give the shelter. So Kali got the shelter in four places. In butcher houses, in pubs, then in brothels, and in casinos, where four sinful activities that puts directly into the mode of ignorance, that's how the Kali is promoting himself. Now you can see it is going on rampantly, everywhere and anywhere. So Ramchandra would send his spies to find out how the citizens are doing and whether they are living happily, befitting his presence. Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came for the welfare of everyone. And are they speaking good of him or not? So, one incident comes into mind that that disturbs Lord Ramchandra very much, that how is it, you know, that this kind of thoughts are coming in the citizen. Of course, he was a Shudra, but he commented that his wife slept with somebody else the previous night. And he came that there was a fight between them. You know? So, that person immediately relate this material incident of his wife, who was not austere or not chaste, and compared to Lord Ramchandra's incident. Because after all, Sita also lived in the house of Ravan for many, right? So he made a nasty comment. So I want to read the importance of Ramchandra's action, that how it has been, it is to be understood. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sukadeva Goswami continued. Once while Lord Ramchandra was walking at night incognito, hiding himself by a disguise to find out the people's opinion of himself, he heard a man speaking unfavorably about his wife Sita Devi. Speaking to his unchaste wife, the man said, "You go to another man's house and therefore you are unchaste and polluted. I shall not maintain you anymore. A henpecked husband like Lord Rama may accept a wife like Sita, who went to another man's house, but I am not henpecked like him, and therefore I shall not accept you again." Sukadeva Goswami said, "Men with poor fund of knowledge and a heinous character speak nonsensically. Fearing such rascals, Lord Ramchandra abandoned his wife Sita Devi, although she was pregnant. Thus, Sita Devi went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. When the time came, the pregnant mother Sita Devi gave birth to twin sons, later celebrated Lav and Kusha, and the ritualistic ceremonies of their birth were performed by Valmiki Muni." So here, the explanation is to be applied on that. Being forsaken by her husband, Sita Devi entrusted her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni. Then, meditating upon Lord's lotus feet, Lord Ramchandra, she entered into the earth. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "It was impossible for Sita Devi to live in separation from Lord Ramchandra. Therefore, after entrusting her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni, she entered into the earth." After hearing the news of Mother Sita's entering the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was certainly aggrieved. Although He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, upon remembering the exalted qualities of Mother Sita, He could not check His grief in transcendental love. Now this portion has to be understood very clearly. Lord Ramchandra's grief at the news of Sita Devi's entering earth is not to be considered material. In the spiritual world also there are feelings of separation. But such feelings are considered spiritual bliss. Grief in separation exists even in the absolute. But such feelings of separation in the spiritual world are transcendentally blissful. Such feelings are a sign of tasya prema vashyatva svabhava. Prema vashyatva svabhava. Prema vashyatva, the real love is superimposing on the effect of separation. It is not that the grief, opposite of love, is superimposing the separation. In Ladini Potenzi, she cannot be separated. You know? But she goes away to increase the intensity of love of the Lord. You know? She is not going or disappearing forever. You cannot separate the Lord from His consort. Therefore, to worship the Lord without the consort, you know, is an offense. You have to have either Sitaram or Radhesha. You have to worship them together, not separated. Now, being under the influence of Ladini Shakti and being controlled by love, that is called prema vatsyatsa svabhava. In the material world, such feelings of separation are only a perverted reflection. Perverted means opposite. In the material world, the same thing is pushing it into opposite experience. Because the world is made opposite, naturally it is not going to give us true picture. the 5th chapter and 15th chapter Urdu Moola Madha Shakam, we explained the first day, you know, the whole material world is an upside down reflection of the original tree. So what our experience in the material world are nothing but perverted reflection of the original. Perverted means opposite. If we feel here grief, then there is a rejoicement for the same thing. How is it? If we feel pain here, you know, when a muni, it's explained in Bhagavad Gita, ya nisha sarva bhutana tasyam jagrati sayami. Tasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashyato muni. Muni means the transcendentalist. For the common man who is awake, he immediately gets engaged into material activity, which is impelled by the three modes of material nature, means mode of ignorance is prevailed. He does not know why he has to do all this. He can't question, oh, why do I have to have a stomach and go for this grueling hardship every day to fill the stomach, to empty the stomach, to fill the stomach, to empty the stomach. Why? They can't question. They are blinded. So, for them it is daytime. But for the thoughtful person, it is actually ignorance. So, it is a resting period. We don't dwell into this. Okay. So, this is what is explained. Importance then, what is perverted reflection means, what we actually experience materially is exactly opposite of the experience there in spiritual world. We grieve on the body, not on the soul. We think, oh, but the body is still here, now you are supposed to go and cremate him. Why? You were loving the body all this time in ignorance, but the spirit soul is gone. So, in Vaishnava character, when a devotee passes, we rejoice that he has gone to Krishna. He has gone to Krishna. There is no regret for a devotee passing in any way. Yes, we will miss his company, but that is the physical company. A devotee is the soul. Devotee is the soul, and if we fail to see that spirit of the soul, you know, then we will also live uselessly. So the idea is that when Ram and Sita are exhibiting the deep feeling of separation, it is prema vatsyatsa svabhava. This is predominated by the love and not the grief. No? So, the attraction between man and woman or male and female always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even amongst the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. So, what to speak of others who are attached to the household life in this material world? As explained above, when the feelings of love and transcendental bliss from the spiritual world are perverted, reflected in this material world, they are certainly the cause of bondage. As long as men feel attracted to women in this material world and women feel attracted to men, the bondage of repeated birth and death will continue. But in the spiritual world, where there is no fear of birth and death, such feelings of separation are the cause of transcendental bliss. In the absolute reality, there are varieties of feelings, but all of them are on the same quality of transcendental bliss.
So, this is the lesson that we have to learn while remaining chaste to our partners or husbands. Because Lord Ramchandra explains by the ideal conduct, and this ideal conduct can send us transcend from this material life to the spiritual realm where he is constantly residing in transcendental bliss. So thank you very much. I try to finish as fast as I can, but I jumped up on too many subjects that cannot be discussed due to short of time. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any question? Or ask while you eat? Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Let's go.